Support comes from Sunday Morning Cafe, presenting Resilience and Creativity, a concert and interview with Royce Martin, creator of Swag Time, and resilience researcher Dr. Tom Wagner on August 2nd, SundayMorningCafe.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Thursday, May 7th. I'm Abby Larico. Route 66 is celebrating its 100th anniversary this year. One of its most memorable characters in the mid-20th century was the owner of Merrimack Caverns, Lester Dill.
He didn't have a whole lot of money for big fancy advertising or to do that much with this cave, but he had enough money that he could ask local farmers to paint on the side of their barns, "Come see Merrimack Caverns, Stanton, Missouri."
More of the quirky stories you'll find along the iconic highway coming up after this news on The Gateway. The trial in one of three lawsuits against the 2025 law that placed the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department back under state control will continue today in Jefferson City. The legislation created a state-appointed board to oversee the police department and set mandated funding levels. It also expanded the number of officers eligible for lifetime health and life insurance. But the state provided no additional funding to cover those expenses, and Maureen Hanlon, a staff attorney at Arch City Defenders, says that makes it an unconstitutional unfunded mandate.
The state legislature is welcome to appropriate money for it, but it cannot force the citizens of St. Louis through their taxes to pay for it.
Attorneys for the state say the law was necessary to make St. Louis safer. In his opening arguments, the Attorney General's litigation chief, Patrick Sullivan, says crime in St. Louis impacts all of Missouri.
St. Louis has a unique and critical economic impact on the state. Governor Kehoe understandably made it a priority to make Missouri safer by making St. Louis safer.
A ruling will come at a later date and will almost certainly be appealed. A Missouri Senate committee voted down legislation yesterday that would have legalized and regulated video gambling machines in the state. As St. Louis Public Radio's Lily Halloran reports, that kills the bill for this year.
The bill would have allowed the devices found in gas stations, bars, and fraternal organizations to be taxed and regulated by the State Lottery Commission. The legislation barely passed the House in February, but Senate President Pro Tem Cindy O'Loughlin has long been against the machines, especially in rural parts of the state.
It's just very hard for the families, and I think we have enough dysfunction in our families that they need to hang on to their money, support their family.
O'Loughlin says if Missourians want to expand gambling, they should collect signatures and put the issue on the ballot. A federal judge ruled the machines are illegal in February, and Missouri Attorney General Catherine Hanaway has taken action to shut them down. In Jefferson City, I'm Lily Halloran, St. Louis Public Radio.
The bill's sponsor in the House couldn't immediately be reached for comment. For the first time in years, the Missouri legislature is not fully funding the state's K-12 schools. Members of the Missouri House and Senate passed a more than $50 billion budget yesterday. It includes more than $4 billion for the K-12 Public School Foundation formula, but that's around $190 million less than what's needed to meet the formula requirement. Democrats repeatedly spoke against the decision, including Senator Carla May.
If we can't do the basic thing in educating our children, making sure our schools are right, having transparency in where our educational dollars are going, everything is not working.
The budget bills now go to Governor Mike Kehoe, who has until July 1st to sign them. Ameren, Missouri officials told lawmakers yesterday that the company plans to increase energy generation capacity by 50% in the next 4 years. It's largely in response to anticipated data center usage. Ameren lobbyist Rob Dixon says due to a law passed last year, residential customers won't be charged for the cost of investments to serve energy-intensive data centers.
We are not providing them with discounts or incentives. And those large customers help everybody by contributing to the fixed costs of the system, the infrastructure that we all use, and they help keep rates lower for everybody else.
Missouri regulations require data centers to pay for their costs to connect to the grid and to sign a minimum 12-year contract for the electricity they'll use. All lanes of Interstate 70 will be periodically closed at Route Z starting next week. The Missouri Department of Transportation says starting Monday, workers will be excavating rock as part of the project to widen 70 to three lanes between Warrenton and Wentzville. The intermittent closures will take place weekdays from 9 in the morning until 2 in the afternoon for the next 3 weeks. MoDOT says there will be up to three full closures on 70 at the Route Z exit per day. The St. Louis City Justice Center has hired 14 officers as part of an effort to address understaffing issues. STLPR's Lucretia Wembley attended their graduation ceremony at City Hall yesterday.
You're about to take your official oath of office.
The cadets stand before jail leaders and their loved ones after pledging to serve as officers and lieutenants at the city jail. Gina Hudgens is one of the newly hired correctional officers. She says she's bringing empathy to the position.
70% of people who are incarcerated come from single-parent homes, and most of the time those single parents are the mother. So I believe that, you know, helping them out as role models will help them get back into the community, you know, and serve better purposes.
Leaders say hiring more staff is part of ongoing efforts to improve conditions at the facility. It's currently down by 58 officers. I'm Lucretia Wembley, St. Louis Public Radio.
Today, May 7th, we're participating in an important community initiative, Give STL Day. Over the past decade, Give STL Day has raised more than $34 million for over 1,000 local nonprofits, directly and positively impacting the St. Louis community. And we're asking you to join the thousands of supporters. So please consider making a gift to St. Louis Public Radio today as part of your Give STL Day enthusiasm for the institutions working for this place we call home, and as part of your commitment to and appreciation of our public service journalism. Donate now at stlpr.org, and thanks. The iconic highway Route 66 is celebrating its 100th anniversary this year. The so-called Mother Road went through large stretches of Illinois and Missouri on its 2,000-mile trek from Chicago to Los Angeles. Historian Andrew Wonko from the Missouri Historical Society recently spoke with St. Louis on the Air host Elaine Cha about the legacy of Route 66 and its origins in Springfield, Missouri.
Making Route 66 was actually a kind of a fight, right? People had to go to the table to make some arguments for it. Talk with us about that.
Yeah, so Route 66 is fascinating. The number 66 actually is not the initial number the first planners who wanted to make this into the most famous highway in the world. It was not the number they were actually looking for. They wanted Highway 60 when it started. So back in 1926, the federal numbered highway system was debuted across America. These highways connecting every single city across the country, they would be given numbers. The big roads stretching all the way from the Atlantic to Pacific coasts were supposed to end in zeros, so 10, 20, 30, 40, 50. These guys here in the Ozarks, folks like John Woodruff of Springfield, Missouri, Cy Avery of Tulsa, Oklahoma, they wanted to get the highway that was going from Chicago to Los Angeles and turn it into the most famous highway in the country, which obviously they were very successful at. Mm-hmm. But they initially wanted number 60 because they thought that's the one everybody's going to want. That's what they're going to remember. They're going to remember those numerals of 10. So they fought to get 60, and it was the governor of Kentucky who raised the flag and said, wait a minute, my state, I see Highway 50 running just north of my state and Highway 70 running just south. Shouldn't Highway 60 be coming right through Kentucky? Instead, he found it curving up to Chicago, and he filed a complaint with the Federal Highway Commission, and they ultimately stripped the number 60 away from the Chicago to Los Angeles road. So these guys, you know, they were heartbroken. They had lost their great number. When for some reason one day, number 66, I don't know if it was the double sixes, the alliteration of how that feels kind of coming off the tongue, that jumped off the page at them. And at this meeting in April of 1926 in Springfield, Missouri, they sent a single telegram to Washington, D.C. saying, we prefer 66 to 62. And on that day, the most famous highway in American history was born.
Well, you just mentioned John Woodruff.
Mm-hmm.
This was someone from Springfield. But there was also someone, I think, who invented potentially the first bumper sticker?
Anybody who's driven up and down Interstate 44 today has certainly seen the Merrimack Caverns billboards. There are dozens of them still around. Lester Dill was the guy who bought the cave that he named Merrimack Caverns in 1935. And he realized he didn't have a whole lot of money for big fancy advertising or to do that much with this cave, but he had enough money that he could ask local farmers to paint on the side of their barns, "Come see Merrimack Caverns, Stanton, Missouri." By, you know, the 40s and 50s, he had hundreds of these barns all the way from Ohio to Texas advertising Merrimack Caverns. You know, when people would get to the actual spot there, he would slap stickers on the back of their bumpers, whether they liked it or not. You know, just a real down and dirty sort of guy who was going to make people remember this this attraction that he had on the roadside. It's Ozark ingenuity at its finest.
Mm-hmm. Andrew, what is the legacy of this decommissioned highway?
I think the incredible thing about Route 66, if you drive on the interstate today, it's a known quantity. You're going to go 70 miles an hour. Anything interesting is going to be at least 100 feet away from you on the side of the highway. If you drive Route 66, you're going to wind through these towns. You're going to see things. People are going to be 5 feet away from you on the sidewalks. You're going to understand these places in a way that the interstate just cannot possibly offer. So it's the slow road. It'll take you a little longer, but it's worth it.
That was historian Andrew Wonka with the Missouri Historical Society speaking with St. Louis on the Air host Elaine Cha about the 100th anniversary of Route 66 in a conversation produced by our Emily Woodbury. Hear more at slpr.org/Route 66. Get your kicks on Route 66. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis. Theme music's by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur, but right now, Route 66 by John Mayer. Get your kicks on Route 66. When it goes through St. Louis, Joplin, Missouri, Oklahoma City looks so, so pretty. I'm Abby Lurico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, thanks for listening to The Gateway. Kicks.